If you want to turn into the book of Colossians with me, we're going to be looking at that. This is our last in the series called the Glorious Riches series. This is the third of three in the series. If you haven't watched them all, you can go back a couple weeks and check the stream. They're there for you. There's a thing going on now, and it's been it's rather new in the world of athletics. Some of you know that I kind of have an interest in athletics. This thing, when I was a college athlete, wasn't around. I didn't make millions off of my name, my image, or my likeness. Although I had a nice jumper, right? I could throw that. I could pitch pretty well at times. Not to the point that anyone would use me to promote the sale of Wheaties. Name, image, likeness. College athletes are being paid an extraordinary amount of money for businesses to use their picture, their words, their athletic performance to influence others towards the product that they are selling. Have you heard of that? Name, image, likeness, NIL. Today's message is entitled Sharing Jesus. So I am going to encourage every one of you, your name and your image and your likeness, to be a messenger to the world on behalf of Jesus. So when we hear the name Ted Stanton, people think, oh yes, I think of Jesus. Oh, do they, Ted? First thing comes to mind, Ted Stanton. I think of bikes, I think of something. Wow, that's a great question for all of us. I want to encourage you to share Jesus with your actions, with your testimony. Here's my story. It includes Jesus. And with your willingness to share how Jesus gave his life as a holy redeemer, how he rose from the dead to offer a living hope through eternal life, and point people to the glorious riches of knowing Jesus. If you know Jesus, you've got riches beyond what the world can offer. Amen? Riches, glorious riches, sharing Jesus. If you're looking in your pew Bibles, it's page 1678. I'll race you to Colossians 3. Here we go. I won. I'm there. I'm not really all that competitive. Balcony, you with me up there? Okay. Here we go. It's on the screen. It's in your pew Bibles, Colossians 3. I'm going to read the whole thing. There's a few points that I'm going to think about. I want you to think about the imagery that Paul uses about being dying to self, undressing from the old things, putting on new things. It's creative. It's brilliant teaching strategy. And then this is the part of the letter where he gets way more practical after some after laying down the whys and the theology behind it. He gets more into the practical side of living this out. So the title is Sharing Jesus. Chapter 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul reminds them there to think about eternal. It's not just about temporary. We're going to live with him in glory forever. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he names things that are happening in the church that are still prevalent among the experience of humanity today. He says, put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. And then he describes this. This is a powerful verse in verse 11. He describes this new life in Christ, this part of this. Here in this, in the kingdom of heaven, in the image of its creator, in the new self in Christ, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. And then he modifies how we should forgive. How are we supposed to forgive? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow, that's the standard of forgiveness. If you haven't forgiven someone in your life a grievance, you need to forgive. Pray for the Lord to help you to forgive. And do it as an act of faith. I don't feel like forgiving. They really hurt me. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace. And be thankful. There's the word thankful. It's like it's in every chapter. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, this is his catch-all phrase, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Well, we know in Ephesians 5, Paul talks about mutual submission, submit to one another. So part of loving your wives is submitting to them too. So love your wives. And he says in Ephesians, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, it was a part of the culture where people had slaves. Obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for the wrongs, and there is no favoritism. May God add his blessing to the reading and teaching of his word. I want you to first, the key to all of this, the key to any really successful action of faith begins with the brain. You don't have to think about breathing. It happens as an automatic response to you. But you do have to think about things. You got to think about driving, how you're going to drive. You got to think about how you're going to respond. It all starts with the brain. As your mind goes, you go. I'm letting you think about that for a second. The brain is a complex organ in our body. It's where emotions are seated. It's where we produce words. Sometimes we don't think too often, and we just let what's normal come out. I'm going to ask you to think. Don't check your brains at the door or going out. I'm going to ask you not to dwell upon or to think too often or enough or too much about negative or hurtful statements. Sometimes they can take us captive. If you're replaying in your mind someone that said to you 5 years ago, and like, this person hurt me, they said this about me. It was very hurtful. And it's true. I used to shake hands going out, and there could be 55, oh, great, good job, Mark, thanks, whatever. I'm not really looking for that, but they sometimes would do that. And then one person would say, you know what, I didn't really like what you said here. Guess which comment stuck with me? That one, that critique. It might have been right on, who knows? But we have the process of taking negative or hurtful statements and putting them on replay in my mind. Anxiety can grip us and keep us from living in freedom and restrict us from reaching our potential. We might be driving down the street or flipping through our phones, and there's an image that comes up that produces lust in us or coveting. It's all in the brain. It's here. It all flows through our brain. Sometimes we have these longings to get back to the video game that we're addicted to. Or the scroll habits that we wake up and want to get right to and see what's going on. It's all part of the brain. What's influencing your thinking? What are you feeding your brain? Do you set your mind on things above? And what does it mean to set our mind on things above? So generally speaking, I'm asking all of you to at least every day think about Jesus and his kingdom. With intentionality, set your mind on things above, Paul says. Set your mind on things above. The beautiful thing that I was reminded of this week, and it was at a family counseling session, was that, we were going to support my niece, was that the brain, and I've told you this before, the brain can change neural pathways. It's called neuroplasticity. You don't always have to think the way you currently think. Your brain can rewire. It has that capacity. Don't you find it amazing that the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. In your mind. It's got to be engaged in this thing of faith and following Jesus. What an awesome creator we have. Paul wrote to the churches. You go and read his letters. He wrote and he said to all of them, remember Jesus and what he has done. Remember him. Remember who you are in him. And he says to all of them, live differently in the world. Be in the world, but not of it. He's saying that to the Colossian church. He says in Colossians 2:20, since you died with Christ, since you died with him, and in Colossians 3:1, since then you have been raised with Christ. Paul directs them to orient their passions and priorities to those of heaven. And specifically, he says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now, we have to think about earthly things. We do every single day, throughout the day. We think about eating. We think about driving. We think about the work projects that we're doing with the men. We're thinking about school and preparations and what we do in our job. This means we don't do those, we don't neglect those things, but we should absolutely be thinking about the things of heaven as we do those things. Set your mind on things above. How do we do that? I want you to think about the King of Heaven. So if I mention, I want you to think about Jesus, what comes to mind? Think about Jesus. Love. I think strength. What a brilliant teacher. Savior. Lord. Think about Jesus. I think of then of his actions, right? Think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Jesus recorded in Mark 1, the time has come, the kingdom of God has come near. He says, repent and believe the good news. So when I think about Jesus, I said, well, he brought that kingdom of heaven near to us. He brought it down and put it on display, and he invites us into that. I think of Philippians 2, right? He left the glory of heaven And he came and he was obedient to the Father, even obedience to the cross. I think of John 13. You know what John 13 is about? The Last Supper, Jesus knelt and he washed his disciples' feet. Oh, what strength in humility. What strength, what a display of submitting to the Father's will. I think of him also going to the house of Zacchaeus, meeting the Samaritan woman at the well. Think about Jesus. Think about the priorities of the kingdom of heaven. Set your mind on things above. At least if you think about them, you might then set to try to live them out. Think about the priorities of the kingdom of heaven. A new command I give you. You cannot think about Jesus and his kingdom without thinking about love. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. If people see us and think about us, and we're supposed to be dressed and clothed with Christ, love needs to be a part of our lives. How are we showing love to each other? Love. Jesus says, store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. Love your neighbor yourself. And he says, think about these things whenever you walk, whether you're walking with your children or at home. Write them on the door frames of your house. Think about the teachings of Jesus, which illustrate the kingdom of heaven. When I think about the kingdom of heaven, I can't move over the teachings that Matthew included in the Sermon on the Mount, including the Beatitudes, the parables of the kingdom of heaven. So there has to be some intentionality about us to do that, to train our minds to think about Jesus. Paul says to them, says, hey, set your mind on things above. We're going to get into what I think they were thinking of on the earthly level. I'm not saying you don't think about work or your family or your activities or caring for children. You can't just sit around on a chair someday and say, don't bother me. I'm thinking about things above, as Scripture says. You want me to cut the grass? I'm thinking about things above. So children, this is not an out, because you're supposed to obey your parents and everything. So make decisions in the temporary through the paradigm of the kingdom of heaven. The purpose of work, marriage, money, sex, relationships. Think about it at least through the lens of the kingdom of heaven. Okay? Sharing Jesus. I want you to share Jesus. It begins with your thinking. You're not putting anything in your brain to kind of remind you and inform you and equip you to think about things of heaven. You're not going to be really worried about sharing Jesus. What are you thinking? We are to be witness to the world for God. Israel was chosen to put by God to put him on display to the nations. I'm choosing you to serve me in this way. He's chosen. We're chosen. We are in Christ, God's chosen people, to serve him. Holy. He calls us holy and dearly loved. We have the privilege of being Christ's ambassadors on this planet. I'm here to remind you to think about your witness for Christ. Setting your minds on things above is an outcome of a loving relationship with God. Remember a time when you fell in love and all you could think about was your sweetie? Yeah, the one who's caught your heart, the twinkle of your eye. I can't think of it. You say you love God, you should be thinking about God. You say you love Jesus, we sang and worshiped him. We should be thinking about him beyond this time. Let's do it. Think about him. See how it shapes a day. See how it equips you then to be mindful of sharing him with the rest of your day. Second thing, take off the old self. Wouldn't it be a great thing if spiritual transformation was as easy as upgrading your wardrobe? New pants, new shoes, new shirts, new dresses, new you, new clothes. Some of you haven't changed your wardrobe for 20 years. Well, I've seen videos where people have undergone makeovers that include clothing changes, haircuts, and the exterior is really different. It's quite noticeable. However, the makeover that we're involved with through knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, it's an internal makeover. It's an internal one that changes our motivations and our passions, resulting in different actions or fruit being produced in us. In a new person, born again, a new life in Christ. The encouragement from men's breakfast yesterday was to be aware of our words. In a world where people's bad decisions and reactions are often viewed by millions, right? Spitting on people, grabbing a ball from a child at a baseball game, saying that's mine, or the concert hug, which was viewed by millions. We're reminded that others are watching and listening just as God is. People are watching you. Children are watching their parents. Your neighbors are watching you. Part of sharing Jesus on a daily basis is through our actions. We need to take off actions that were part of our old pre-Christ selves that are not Christ-like. Our actions speak loudly and can cause great damage to our witness. So I'm going to give you four things that need to be a part of this transformation process. The first is repentance. It's a necessary part of the transformation because of the old self, the old flesh. It fights to live on. Right? Lust doesn't die easily. Slander, gossip doesn't die easily. Just because I'm a new self, I'm forgiven in Christ, right? We still have to sacrifice that flesh and its desires. Repenting is a part of the transforming process. I'm about to name some things that are present among us. As you recognize them in your life as guided by the Holy Spirit, please repent. Turn away from them towards something new in Christ. Secondly, praying for God's strength to work in us to transform from old to new is a necessary tool in this process. Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, empower me. It's essential that we ask this and do this. It's not in your own strength. You can't muster up enough strength and gumption to just do this. Yes, you need to be involved with your choice and your desire, but say, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me become who I'm supposed to becoming in Christ. Repenting and praying. Apology. Apologizing to those who are impacted by our inappropriate actions is a necessary action in this transformative process. You're going to have to say, I'm sorry to your spouse. You're going to have to say, I'm sorry to your kids. Kids, you're going to have to say, I'm sorry to your parents for disrespecting them. It's all part of it. We're going to have to say, I'm sorry to each other. It's okay. Finally, forgiving is a part of this transformation process. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. We must forgive others. Here's his list of things to take off. They were in the church 2,000 years ago. They're still in the church. It's human nature. We're battling against these things, the things of the flesh. Sexual immorality. We live in a sex-crazed culture in a world. Sex sells, and people use it to sell. And pornography is a billion-dollar business. Children and youth are captured and sold into a horrific trade. Why? Because of sexual immorality. Put it off. It's not to be of us. Is this something that Jesus would participate in? A question we ask. No. Put it off. Impurity, with Christ as the definition of purity. Take off impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. We live in a place of plenty compared to a lot of the world. We do. We've talked about it before. It's easy to get caught up in wanting more. It's a stumbling block for me at times, especially when my car won't work right. Daggone, I want a car that just is good and new. I want a car like that. Hold on. That's coveting. That's greed. Put off these things. Put them off. Why did Paul write them to the church? Because they're still there in the church. Put them off. Put them off. Put these things to death, he says. Starve them. Cut them off. Rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger. When they think of you, do they think of you being an angry person? There are times in a day where I can be more angry. There are times in the week where I'm prone to be more angry than others. How about you? If you don't control your anger, it will turn to rage. If you go immediately to rage, it's not right. It's not who we're supposed to be as followers of Christ. Rage. Do you know what rage is? Do I need to explain rage to you? Malice is deep-seated ill will, a disposition to injure others. Put it off. Slander. Slander. Malicious and false statements about someone. You know? Gossiping. He says, put off filthy language from your lips. Oh man, we live in a culture where the F-bomb is dropped a lot and it's just casual. F this. Should we be engaged in that? I would consider that filthy language. Paul says, put it off. Put off that filthy language. It's not sharing Christ. Come on. Do not lie to each other. Paul wrote these types of things to all the churches that he wrote to. He wrote it to Colossians, he wrote it to Romans, he wrote it to Philippians. Right? In Romans, Galatians 5:9, he says the acts of the flesh are obvious, and he lists things like this and more things. It was the human thing. It applies to us today. Put them off. I don't want that anymore. Get it off of me. Notice, first of all, notice it. Like, I do that. You might walk out here today and say, well, the Holy Spirit touched me when he listed these things, and I just knew that when he got to that one on rage that he was talking to me. I got to put off rage. I got to put off gossip, slander. Some of them apply more to each of us. Maybe the list doesn't catch you in our thing. I hope not. But there are ones that are closer to all of us. Put them off. Remember that our actions result from brain activity, the things that we are thinking. If you're reflexively responding with fits of rage or filthy language, this should give you pause to inspect your normal rhythms and reactions. So then don't fuel the desires of flesh. If you're trying to put off sexual immorality and lust, don't be scrolling, looking at things, pornography. What in the world are you doing? You're fueling that very thing in your brain. If you're trying to put off gossip and slander, stop watching and finding an entertainment and enjoyment on shows that do that very thing. Maybe you're saying, I can't help the rage. You have reactions to sports teams or driving. I think another thing might be is to voice your struggle to another trusted brother or sister. Name the struggle and ask the Holy Spirit for help. And if possible, avoid the triggers that push you into anger or rage. Well, I can't avoid driving, Pastor Mark. Well, you can pray before you go. You can be aware of it and ask the Lord to help you not to rage as you drive. At least engage. Don't just say, I can't. Ah, we can. The one who lives within us is more powerful than the one who lives in the world. Amen? You're not alone in the struggle. We all struggle with sin and the desires of the flesh. Set your minds on things above. Take off the old self. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to share Jesus by becoming like him and doing as he did. Put on the new self. Here's the third point. Sharing Jesus happens when we act like him. So I encourage you to become more like Christ by putting on the new self. People are influenced by their culture, their experience, and what they accept as truth, the stories that were told to them, etc. Meaning, we're all being transformed in some direction. You're being transformed in some direction. Most people undergo a change of clothes in the morning. We take off our night clothes, our PJs, and we put on appropriate clothes for the day's activity. Paul recommends that we clothe ourselves with actions that reflect Jesus. Our new self is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. This new self is not an all-at-once transformation. It's a process that we're invited to engage. This renewal in knowledge sees people in a way that's not natural to most of us. I paused when I read this to you. I'm going to go back to it again. So, because I want you to look at people beyond what you see on the exterior. Because we can easily see people on the exterior, and we do. And we often sometimes make judgments or labels, and Paul suggests a new awareness of people that does not separate our cultural divisions, Jew or Gentile. A new awareness of people that does not divide or quarrel over religious ceremonial practices, circumcision or uncircumcision. A new awareness of people that does not get stuck on outward and potentially definitive descriptors. That person's a barbarian. Barbarians did not speak Greek and they were uncivilized. Scythians, they were warriors, horseback warriors, known especially for their brutality, and they were considered by others as little better than wild beasts. Paul's saying, we don't label people that way. Or label and treat people based on their social status. That person's a slave, or they're free. He was speaking to believers, but a mixed crowd of believers. Paul reminds them, we have put on the new self, renewed in the image of Jesus, where he is all and is in all. When I hear that, I think, wow, Paul, that's lofty teaching for us. It still applies to us. Very much so. The invitation for us is to see Christ in each other. So then I thought, well, yeah. People should be seeing Jesus in us. We should be seeing Jesus in each other. We should be increasingly reflecting Jesus. Right after Paul alerts us to the incredibly radical possibility of Jesus Christ overcoming diverse differences in people divisions, he tells us what we should look like and how we should be dressed. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with this. And these things put Christ on display. Compassion. Do we see compassion in you? What is compassion? It's emotional and physical response to the suffering of others. Are you a compassionate person? We should see kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These things seen in us and experienced by others through God working in us, they share Jesus because these are part of his character. Put these on. These are things we're putting on increasingly to become more like Christ. Don't you like Paul's lists? They give us like, I'm going to go after that. I'm going to go for that. Again, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. But it's us participating and thinking about it and desiring and praying for it. Most of us have been studying Jesus' character and his witness for years. And yet some of these things are very missing from our lives. So, but I think, I'm not here to condemn us. I want to encourage you by telling you this. It's a beautiful thing whenever you are a part of a compassionate ministry to someone else. You see a need and you display kindness and gentleness and patience and you work with this person or people to share Christ. It's a beautiful thing. It's practiced in many of our interactions. In spending time with the lonely, in working with children and youth, helping the sick, feeding the hungry, sitting with the grieving, rebuilding a house. I sometimes am overwhelmed by the need that's in the world. So here's the good news. It's not up to you to resolve all the need. Even among us, it's not up to one person or two or three. But here's the beauty of the church working together and being as Christ to each other, is that we all carry this together. You have relationships that know about people's needs and suffering and what they need in their life, and they do to you as well. And it goes back and forth like that. And we love one another. We share Jesus by becoming like Him. We bear with each other and we forgive one another grievances. Just as the Lord has acted towards us, we act towards others. And Paul says, the thing that holds it all together is love. It's love. You can't think about becoming like Jesus without having love in your life. Love for God, love for others. Love for God fuels our love for humans. I'm going to wrap it up with some quick application. Three H's: hearts, homes, and humanity. Our hearts, God wants it all. Is your heart totally given to God? I give Him a little bit, but I want to keep hold of this. He wants an undivided heart. He says, work at it, to the slaves, work at it with all your heart. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. What's the peace of Christ, church? Does it mean like there's no conflict in our human relationships? Is that the peace of Christ? Not really. The peace of Christ that He offers us that's above all these is right relationship with God. The peace of Christ. Jesus made us right. We're able to stand before a holy God and come to the Father through His work on our behalf. Let that rule in your heart. I'm right with God through what Jesus has done for me. That's what rules in your heart. And then you work at peace among people. When I think about Jesus, His victory, His power, our living hope, my heart is refreshed. We're to let His peace rule in our hearts. Do you know what it's like to let anger simmer in your heart? Or revenge, jealousy, greed, anxiety, lust and the desires of the flesh rule in your heart? They want to. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Hearts, our homes. So our immediate context of this, let's start in our homes. That's a small group of people where we're sharing Christ every day in our homes. Husbands and wives, parents and children, siblings. Right? Siblings. Wouldn't it be great if our kids learned to love each other as Christ loved them? Oh, that would be a gift to the parents. If our kids didn't fight and bicker over toys and argue and complain and, I want the bathroom now. You've been in there for a while. What if our kids just learned to bear with one another and forgive one another and realize their impact, not only in their sister, but their younger sibling who's watching them? Anyway, sorry, kids. It just came. Just came out. I once too was a child, a kid, and had brothers. So I didn't do it all right. Anyway, in our homes, let's work first there. Then let's work also in the church to one another in this way. And then it'll spill out into how we interact with even people outside the church, our enemies. Husbands, wife, children, slaves, and masters. Love as if you're loving Jesus. Submit as if you're submitting to Jesus, and obey as if you're obeying Jesus. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. You know what He says to us for us to do that? With all types of singing. Do you feel like our songs can teach each other? Can it remind us of Christ? And can we admonish each other through our singing? You parked in my spot. I admonish you. Maybe not. I don't know exactly how that works out, but let's sing, and in our singing, be grateful with all types of music. Humans. Hearts, homes, and humans. He makes a blanket statement with our intentions, interactions with humans. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God, the Father, through Him. Whatever you do, praise team, would you come up and prepare to lead us in our closing song? So, connect to Christ, connect to Jesus, grow in Christ, and then share. Connect to Christ. We're nothing without Him. Connect to Him, grow in Him. Don't stay as you are, grow. And then share Him. Share Him in your actions by taking off the old, putting on the new. In Colossians 1:27, to them, the Lord's people, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sharing Christ. Not a I have to. I get to serve the King of Kings by putting Him on display. You do too. You do too. We do together. And we become stronger in Christ together. Share Christ together for God's glory. There are amazing riches to be found in Christ.